So some of you walked in here and you were like, what's the story with the upside down ugly tree? And you were kind of feeling a little bit embarrassed thinking, you know, they tried to make it look nice and stuff, but I don't think they knew that thing's upside down. We didn't know it was upside down, and it is a little bit funky looking. I would agree with you. I don't know if you've seen, but upside down trees are kind of somewhat the fad in Europe, and it is catching on somewhat in the United States. The in-flight magazine, what is it, Hamaker Schlimmer, I don't know what it is, but it's something like that. They carry a ton of these things, and they couldn't keep them in stock the last couple of years. I mean, they were selling them for like $800, like these pre-lit upside down trees. I'm thinking, I'm not happy about paying $45 for my real tree in my house, and these things are going for that much. Places like Target has had them and all that kind of stuff for like, you know, hundreds of dollars. People are buying these things up. It just kind of looks weird to me, but there is some history behind it. There is some sense behind this. Back in the 7th century, there was a guy named Boniface, and he was an Englishman, but was in Germany as a missionary. And the legend kind of goes this way. This is part of the legend. I don't even know if it's true, to be quite honest with you. Part of the legend is that there was a tree there that was dedicated to Thor, who the Germans kind of revered and worshipped, and he chopped the tree down and said, Thor's not going to do anything to me, and he chopped the tree down, and out of it kind of sprung this fir branches and fir tree. So that's part of the legend. I don't know if that's true or if that's not, but what he did do is he used the fir tree to be able to teach some of the German people the nature of the Trinity. He turned the fir tree upside down and talked about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in this kind of pyramidic way. And he also talked about the nature of Christ and his crucifixion and felt like it looked better represented from an upside down tree. Well, they didn't just immediately start hanging trees upside down. It wasn't until about the 12th century. And in about the 12th century in Europe, you would find Christians all over the place having trees hanging in their houses upside down. It was kind of a symbol of the fact that they believed in Christ and were worshiping him. Now, I'm not trying to start a trend because, to be honest with you, it just looks funny to me. It looks weird, frankly. Thinking of funny and weird kind of also brought me to, there are some Christmas carols that also strike me as funny and weird. And there's one that I came across called Carol Our Christmas. It was written by a lady named Shirley Murray. Here's what the carol says. Carol Our Christmas, an upside down Christmas. The snow is not falling and trees are not bare. Carol the summer and welcome the Christ child, warm in our sunshine and sweetness of air. Sing of the gold and the green and the sparkle, water and river and lure of the beach. What? Sing in the happiness of open spaces. Sing a nativity summer can reach. You just start going, you know what? Hawaiian shirts and hula skirts aren't getting it done for me at Christmas time. I just don't get it. You know, it's kind of weird. Well, if I told you that Shirley Murray, who wrote this, is from New Zealand, and that in December for them is actually summertime, you would understand the nature of why this song sounds so upside down and how they sing a song at Christmas that they call an upside down Christmas. So given that the tree seems kind of odd and weird because it's upside down, and given that we've got Christmas carols that sing about an upside down Christmas, I know it all sounds completely weird, but for me, I think it's perfect. I think it's perfect. I'm not trying to set a new tradition. I've got a right side up tree actually in my house. They try to market it this way because they said, you know, really, they didn't talk about the reason for the why it was upside down, but like if you read some of the catalogs, they'll say, more room for gifts, and they can be humongous. Buy more stuff. Perfect. That's exactly what we needed. But you know, as I think about all of this thing, I'm thinking to myself, the upside down theme, it's perfect at Christmas. Because there's nothing about the Christmas story that almost makes any sense. The whole story is upside down. I mean, you've got a baby that is born not into some traditional family where everything's, you know, nice and cozy and warm. No, he's born to an unwed, untouched teenage girl. Welcome to scandal, right? It's upside down. How about where he was born? He wasn't born in a palace as a king should be. He wasn't born in even a home. He was born in an animal shelter cave and laid in a feeding trough. It's upside down. How about the announcement? The announcement of the Savior that has come and that has been born, it wasn't made to all of these religious elites and the great high priest. No, it was some dudes that were hanging out with some stinky sheep outside. They got the news upside down. How about gifts for the king? Christ, the child, the king. How about the gifts that come for this king? Well, they didn't come from the Jews, even though he was born king of the Jews. No, they came from non-Jews who traveled like 1,000 miles on camel to be able to worship. It's upside down. So it makes pretty good sense that when Mary got the understanding from the angel that she was carrying around this child who was a Christ and that it was not of human conception, she had a pretty good idea that things were going to be really different. She also knew, because of the angels telling her, that her cousin Elizabeth was also going to have a baby of natural means, but was going to have a baby that was going to be the forerunner of Jesus. And so Mary goes and visits her cousin when Mary is very early on in her pregnancy and Elizabeth is about 6 months maybe into her pregnancy, or maybe not quite that. And she goes and visits Elizabeth, and Elizabeth, filled with the Spirit, greets her and says, "Boy, blessed are you." And then here's what Mary does. Mary breaks out into a song. But you know what? If we were titling that song nowadays, I think I would call it An Upside Down Christmas. Here's what it says. It's in Luke chapter 1. It says, "And Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers.'" It's an upside down idea. Mary knew that this was going to change everything, that when Jesus Christ, God with skin on, came and was born of the Holy Spirit to this Virgin Mary, she knew that everything was going to change. And as she sung, here's what she sung about. She sung about rulers who were going to be cast down from their thrones. She sang about the humble who were going to be exalted. She sang about the poor who were going to be filled. Everything just got turned upside down. And even the way that the King Jesus, the one born in a feeding trough, who would grow up, even the way he would secure all of these things happening, it too was seemingly upside down. It shouldn't surprise us that at Christmas time we're talking about a story that flipped everything upside down. It shouldn't surprise us. It shouldn't surprise us when we go through the Christmas story and we recognize how upside down everything is. And it shouldn't surprise us that those who come into contact with the Christ child, with the King, that their lives are turned upside down. It wasn't that many years ago when I came in contact with Christ. My life was turned upside down. You see, that's the story of those who embrace Jesus, who recognize that in our own sinfulness, we can't save ourselves, but we cast ourselves on the mercy of Christ the King, God with skin on, who came, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on a cross, rose from the grave. For those that embrace that reality and embrace relationship with Jesus Christ, He turns you upside down. He did for me. He's done for many of you as well. But you know what the beauty of that is? My life was upside down. And so whenever you come into a life that's upside down and King Jesus turns that upside down life upside down, it finally makes you right side up, doesn't it? That's the beauty. But you see, that's what's been happening all along with followers of Jesus. He turns everything upside down. And now those that embrace Jesus and follow him, they're really turning everything upside down. He had some early followers named Paul and Silas. And when Paul and Silas were in a place called Thessalonica, they were there ministering and they were teaching people about the truth and the reality of Jesus Christ as Messiah and King. Some of the folks got a little bit angry about that. Notice what their commentary was in Acts chapter 17. It says these words. But the Jews were jealous, and taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob, set the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out to the crowd. And they, when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, and they shouted, "These, wait for it, have come here also, and Jason has received them, and they are all acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus." Do you know in another translation, one that I failed to show you, do you know what it literally says? These are the people that are turning the world upside down. That's the history of what Jesus Christ has done, and that's what followers of Jesus Christ do. They turn the world upside down. I don't know if he's turned your world upside down, but I say all of that and tell you all of this upside down Christmas story for this reason. I really tell it to you as a warning. It's a gracious warning and a loving warning, but it's a warning nonetheless, and here's why. Because at Christmas time, we want everything to be right. We want everything right side up. We want the family gathering to be perfect, even though we know there's a couple of uncles and cousins and stuff that are coming, and we're like, wow. We know the drill, right? But you want it to be perfect. You want that turkey or that ham that you're cooking, you want it to come out perfect, not scorched, not bad. You want everybody to just go, oh man, feed me more. You want the presents that you're giving to one another or that you're watching your children or grandchildren open, you want them to love it. You want that gift that you've given to that special someone to be just right. You want everything to be right side up. Let me give you a warning. If you want everything right side up, don't get too close to the manger. You might think that you're looking into the face of a little child who's adorable and has beautiful rosy cheeks and brings you a very warm feeling, but let me just go ahead and warn you. This is a very dangerous place. The longer you linger at the manger, the greater the chances that your life's going to be turned upside down. So if you want things to just go on as they are, and if you want to be the ruler of your life, and if you want to do things the way that you want to do them, and you want to make Christmas just about a sentimental story that you can gather family, have some good meals, and take some time off of work, then please, by all means, do not hang around the manger very long. Because this child, who is our king, he will flip you upside down. But I say that to you as an encouragement, because every single person that has been born into this world, your life's upside down. And until you meet the one who will turn your life side upside down to make it right side up, then life's going to be real disorienting for you. See, ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you of these things, because whatever your background, whether you're a believer, whether you're not a believer, you need to understand something. This is not a fairy tale.
We remember the birth of Jesus the Christ. We have been told stories of old. God came as a child to change the destiny of all men, to show forgiveness to sinners. To believe such things is misguided. The truth is, he was just an ordinary man who lived an ordinary life. Those who do not believe the truth say, "We proclaim his name, Emmanuel, God with us. We share the wonder of the shepherds. We sing the songs of the angels." This is not what is real. Shepherds were not awakened by angelic announcement. There were no wise men celebrating the birth of the king. I'd be lying to you if I said that for the creator of the universe, there was no room in the inn. For the Son of God, there was but a humble stable. Whether you like it or not, this is the reality of Christmas. That's what I used to think. But then I made room for him in my heart, and Jesus turned it all upside down. This is the reality of Christmas, whether you like it or not. There was but a humble stable for the Son of God. There was no room in the inn for the creator of the universe. I'd be lying to you if I said that there were no wise men celebrating the birth of the king, that shepherds were not awakened by angelic announcement. This is not what is real. We sing the song of the angels. We share the wonder of the shepherds. We proclaim his name, Emmanuel, God with us. Those who do not believe the truth say he was just an ordinary man who lived an ordinary life, but to believe such things is misguided. The truth is, to show forgiveness to sinners, to change the destiny of all men, God came as a child. We've been told stories of old. We remember the birth of Jesus Christ.
Father, we do bring an offering of worship to you this Christmas Eve. We thank you for the gift of your Son and how that is a game changer. That this world that is bruised and fallen can be redeemed and reconciled because Jesus came and turned everything upside down. Thank you for the recognition that in our own hearts, when we bow before you, confessing that we are sinful and need a Savior, as it is said even in the story of Christmas, you will name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. When we confess you as Lord, believe in our heart that you are the King of the universe and our only hope for life in this life and in the life to come. Then you turn our lives upside down. We're so grateful for that. Help us to live with a spirit and recognition of you as our King. And help us to be people that help to turn this world upside down with the love and the grace and the peace and the reconciliation and the justice of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace. Merry Christmas.